Hello and welcome to Zero Hour. This is Tim Bowring. Today's show is an ongoing series that explores Richmond's thriving art scene and the people that make it happen. Every Friday at 12:30, we sit down at a Richmond cafe and have lunch with one of these folks. The conversation is live and spontaneous, so pull up a chair and meet some fascinating people. Today, we are talking with Holly Morrison. Welcome, Holly, to Zero Hour. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I'm going to do a little bit of resume reading here because it's pretty impressive stuff. Holly is currently an associate professor at VCU in painting and printmaking. She's been there since 2005. Prior to that, she taught at the Cleveland Institute of Art and other universities. She received her MFA from Cranbrook Academy of Art in 1985. And she has received fellowships from the McDowell Colony, among others, many others actually. Numerous grants supporting her work have also come her way. Her work hangs in the Cleveland Public Library, the Cranbrook Academy of Art Museum, and many others. In short, you're enjoying a very successful career as a printmaker. But enough about you. Let's talk about Command Print Conference, which is coming up here on March 26th through March 29th, which sounds like, and when you read about it on the website, sort of a gigantic, amazing, exciting undertaking.
Yeah.
So it is called Command Print. It's associated with the Southern Graphic Council Conference. Is that correct?
Yes.
And it's being hosted by Virginia Commonwealth University, School of the Arts, Department of Painting and Printmaking, and the Center for Digital Print Media. Well, where to start with something as huge as this? Why don't you just give a little bit of an overview of what this whole thing is about?
Well, the Southern Graphics Print Council is actually the largest printmaking organization in North America. And every year, they host an annual conference they've been all over the country. So 2 years ago, Richard Roth and I made a pitch to have...
So Richard Roth is the head of...
Richard Roth is the chair of painting and printmaking at VCU. And so he and I pitched the conference to the organization at one of the conferences. And we talked a little bit about why we were interested in doing it, what the sort of theme is that we would use as a platform, and then a little bit about VCU and Richmond and why it would be a really
good
place to have.
So why are we interested in what is the theme?
Well, so we chose Command Print as the title for our conference really to be a little bit provocative. I'd been to a number of conferences over the years, and I really felt like the organization needed a little bit of a wake-up call because mm-hmm. it was still mired a little bit in traditional media. And, you know, I'm an etcher, so it doesn't get much more traditional than that. However, I think with the advent of the internet, mm-hmm. you know, when that came along, I really was excited because I really felt like it was a watershed moment in our history that was very much like the invention of movable type 500 years earlier, and that it would change culture in the way that the Gutenberg press did.
Really?
So I really felt like this is part of our history and certainly part of printmaking's future because it's all about the dissemination of information.
Why did you think it would make such a big change?
Right.
I mean, we could do a whole show on that, I'm sure. But is there any way you can talk about that? Because that's a very interesting thing to say.
Well, I think one of the things when you work with a medium that has the ability to produce a multiple, mm-hmm. you're constantly aware of the fact that, well, for instance, you know, I can be Rembrandt's prints. You know, I mean, a large one is maybe, you know, 18 inches wide.
Right.
But scale for Rembrandt really comes with the fact that I can be looking at a Rembrandt print in Richmond and someone else can be looking at it, you know, in Los Angeles and someone else can be looking at it in Dusseldorf. And, mm-hmm. you know, like there are multiples all over the world. And so you're aware of the scale of something because of its ability, because there is more than mm-hmm. one. And so I think when I first got on the web, it was actually a friend of mine had a, you know, internet connection, and we were able to search the Cleveland Public Library's database. And I was so excited that I could do it in the middle of the night from my house, you know, and, you know, look at my, you know.
So just the ability to have these images available to so many people in so many different ways.
Well, self publishing.
And self-publishing.
It's
sure.
empowering. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay. All right.
And now that we have...
Oh, so there's the connection between yes. that and the Gutenberg Press. Yeah. I got you. Okay.
Information right. can be disseminated, yes. not just hand-to-hand.
Okay.
But, you well, know...
That's very interesting. That's very true. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so back to the conference. What are the dates of it again?
So people will start to arrive on March 26th. And, mm-hmm. you know, this is going to bring probably at least 1,000 people to Richmond.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the it will end on Saturday the 29th with a big banquet. So the 26th through the 29th.
Mm, wonderful. Yeah. Where's the banquet? What kind of food are we having? No, I'm just kidding. Cut to the really important
exactly.
stuff here.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the keynote speakers, because they are a pretty extraordinary pair, and I think will add significantly to the conference. Can you tell me a little bit about them?
Yeah. Shelley Bancroft and Peter Nesbitt are the co-editors of Art on Paper, which is, I think, the premier publication for works on paper in the country, if not the world. Mm-hmm. And they... That used to be called the Print Collector's Newsletter, and it was a really stodgy publication, you know, and they, when they picked it up, they really revamped it, and it's very engaging, and it itself is oftentimes kind of a little bit provocative. They really mm-hmm. push the boundaries. They did a project in the summer that was all articles written by artists. And in fact, I think the title for their keynote address is something along the lines of... Prints without printmakers, art without artists. So we'll see.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you were talking about being provocative, so.
Well, I think that, you know, when we titled it Command Print, it had to do with the fact that I use the keyboard shortcut all the time with a little command
okay.
symbol and the
uh-huh.
P to print things.
Yes.
So you're constantly generating prints.
Uh-huh.
But I know that that key is called the command key. So mm-hmm. we liked the notion that it was going to kind of really talk about digital culture in relation to print media and printmaking's mm-hmm. history, but also that it was something that was kind of empowering, because what we wanted to do was really get people to think about how pervasive the notion of the multiple is in our life everywhere.
The multiple.
So, you know, from
what do you mean by the multiple?
Well, walk through Walmart. Actually, Peter Baldus and I spent uh-huh. a Sunday a few weeks ago with our cameras, not only photographing all the proliferation of multiples within Walmart, but also the garbage around the back. You know, so that
when
we
you
also
say multiples,
people,
what do you mean? I mean,
well, you know, there's in a post-industrial society, there's so much that's able to be manufactured and distributed.
Okay.
So there's, you know,
there's hundreds of bottles
exactly.
of shampoo.
Okay. So to really start to have people be aware of the notion of, you know, how pervasive the multiple is in society, and then, you know, how do we begin to talk about print theory, you know, and kind of expand the parameters of what defines a print.
Hmm. There's another show. You could spend a long time talking
yeah.
about. Yeah. So what does define a print? No, I don't think that's something you can answer
in
short.
Oh, I actually have an idea about that. I mean,
yeah.
you know, the thing about the way I think about prints, and the reason that I think it relates really beautifully back to traditional medium, is what defines a print is that there is a matrix that, you know, so it's essentially the source material that is capable of generating multiples from it.
So like a woodcut or like a...
Yeah,
yeah.
a plate, stone.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be the kind of traditional mm-hmm. print forms. But also, you know, computer code mm-hmm. is capable of being replicated mm-hmm. and duplicated and spread. But you know, VCU is extraordinary in that we also have, I mean, in sculpture, they have a 3D printer, and they have a digital router, and we just the painting and printmaking department. Yeah. You know, we have this whole center for digital print media. Also, we now have a digitally driven laser cutter.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of things from, you know, sort of small editions. Works to even, I mean, I went and saw Charlie Lazor, the architect, give a lecture about the Flatpak House a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we're living in an extraordinary time.
Flatpak House?
Yes.
So I'm assuming we're talking about a house that's designed in a factory
software,
with software and sort of arrives as a
shipped,
it can be shipped as a flat pack.
Assembled in 5 weeks.
Really? Mm-hmm. We need to talk about that some more later on. Okay, I'll jot that down. That's very interesting. Some of the you do have some really exciting people coming to this. Kerry James Marshall is coming
Amazing.
For Lifetime Achievement Award in printmaking. Tell me about that a little bit.
Well, I think Kerry James Marshall is a really extraordinary artist. If you're not familiar with him, just a little backstory. He was born in Birmingham, Alabama during the Civil Rights, grew up there during the Civil Rights Movement. As a teenager, his family moved to the Watts section of Los Angeles, and his high school was across the street from the Black Panther headquarters. So this guy, you know, is really forged in a particular history.
You ever seen the Watchtowers?
Yes. Fantastic.
Yeah, I saw him years ago.
When he was in Los Angeles, he studied with this incredible printmaker, African-American printmaker named Charles White. So when you look at Kerry's work, the graphic quality, you can see the incredible influence that Charles White had as a mentor. So we were very aware of, you know, White's influence on Kerry James Marshall. But I think the reason that we felt he was really important to acknowledge in the conference where it carried this theme of command print was one of the things that he's done is a graphic novel called Rhythm Master, and it's RHYTHMMASTR. And he really has constructed from the perspective of African American, and the superheroes are based on African sculpture. So he sets up, I think, very compelling narratives about how these things. The first time I saw it was in the Carnegie International Triennial.
Now this is a book.
Yes, yeah,
okay.
And it actually
and this is a book of prints.
Part of it will be on display at Bev Reynolds Gallery. I think the opening is tomorrow night, and then it will also there'll be a reception during the conference.
Tomorrow night would be Friday the 7th.
Yes.
Yes.
Of March.
Even though we're talking live here on radio.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, no.
Anyway, there'll be a reception.
Waitress!
There will be a reception for Kerry Marshall at Bev Reynolds Gallery during the conference. So I think that's on Thursday evening.
Mm-hmm.
So part of Rhythm Master will be on display. But the first time I saw it displayed was in the Carnegie International Museum, and he had wallpapered the front of the vitrines where these
the front
pieces
of the what?
Vitrines in the African American collection where these sculptures are normally
what are
on display. A vitrine is it's a display case, a glass enclosed display case.
Okay.
And so he had wallpapered the glass with the printed out comic strips. And then there were just shapes cut out through it where you could peer through. But on all the pedestals where normally these pieces of African sculpture would be, they were missing. So he set up this mystery in the text of the beginning of Rhythm Master about how these things had kind of magically disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And then the narrative gets set. But he was also a lot of the Rhythm Master work, along with other paintings of Kerry Marshall's, were at Documenta last summer in Germany.
Okay.
So he's just as a side note, he is a MacArthur genius.
Oh, is he? Yes.
Recipient. So we're really honored to have him here.
Wow. Second one in a month.
Yes,
Terracita was
exactly.
here and now. Yes. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, let's talk a little bit about the conference highlights. Let's see. When we were talking before, you were talking about Sandow Burke.
Oh, yes.
Who's currently or will be shortly having a show actually in Charlottesville at their Second Street Gallery, which is sort of the gallery in Charlottesville. Tell me a little bit about his work and what attracted you all to him.
Yeah, well, Sandow Burke is an artist who's based in Los Angeles, and I had done some work out in the Bay Area, and that was when I first encountered his prints. He did a whole series of work that was really about kind of a war between L.A. and San Francisco. Then what he was doing when I was at Trillium Press in the Bay Area was he rewrote Dante's Divine Comedy in a kind of L.A. surfer lingo and updated it with contemporary characters. So Bill Clinton is in it, you know. So I think it's in this contemporary vernacular California language and populated with characters from our present time. And then all the images are just phenomenal. So Beatrice looks sort of like this riot girl. Yeah. And let's see. Actually, Paradiso takes place in Times Square.
Okay.
So it's the entire Divine Comedy. But what Sandow has just completed and what will be on display at the Second Street Gallery in Charlottesville is a series of woodcuts that are 4 by 8 feet in dimension based on Callot's Depravities of War. And what Sandow has done again is based these works mm-hmm. on these art historical prints, but he's referring to what's going on in Iraq.
Right.
They're extraordinary.
Really?
So he'll be giving an artist's talk, but he'll also be on a panel with Daniel Heyman, who's a artist who has done an entire body of work based on, he's interviewed people who were involved in the Abu Ghraib scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're all portraits of those people. And so Sandow.
So wait a minute, hang on a second. He interviewed them?
Daniel Heyman did.
Yeah,
yes.
Right, I know. And then did portraits of them?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, as part of that's his kind of documentation of the interview.
Right.
And.
Were these portraits, what were they? Were they prints? Were they drawings? Were they.
Both.
Painted?
Yeah. Yeah, they're both.
Yeah.
So Daniel and Sandow and then Paul Maloney, who is the publisher for their work, will mm-hmm. all be on a panel called Art During Wartime.
Yeah. Interesting. So what other panels are there?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you know, you've got the one you just talked about, the printmaker in wartime.
I think some really engaging ones. There's one called The Syntax of the Print Revisited. So apparently this was over 10 years ago, there was a panel called The Syntax of the Print when people were kind of debating and discussing, you know, what it really is. And
what does that mean?
Well, I think, you know, Beauvais Lyons is the head of printmaking at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville, and he's the one who's chairing this panel. And he really felt like it was time and timely because of the nature of what our conference is addressing to really look at what, you know, kind of what again defines the print. So what, how does it communicate and through what means and mediums?
But in terms of syntax, I mean.
Syntax.
Yeah. What does that mean in that context? Do you know?
Well, it's hard for me to suppose it, but I think there.
I mean, I usually hear it used in language syntax.
He's going to have someone talk really about, you know, prints that utilize installation,
mm-hmm.
prints that utilize. I mean, he's really talking about what medium is carrying the message. So
yeah.
I think that's really how you
okay.
know
okay.
what mm-hmm. what forms the syntax.
Okay.
There's a panel called. Actually just Command Print, and it's one that most of the panels come out of the membership, so we put out a call for proposals and then we vetted them and selected the ones for our conference, and then we put one together, you know, we went like, all right, what would our dream panel be?
Okay,
so
what panel do we want to be on, right?
Yeah, so there is one panel that's just titled Command Print, and it's made up of some really extraordinary people. One of them is Johanna Drucker, who teaches at the University of Virginia. I think she's head of a media studies mm-hmm. program, and she's very well known in the field of book and media, book arts and media, and she's interesting. I mean, she does letterpress printing, which is extremely mm-hmm. slow, but she also writes a lot of theory in relation to new media.
Yeah.
Steve Mirakishi, who was the head of printmaking at Cranbrook Academy of Art and Design for over 20 years. And he was, I think, really the person who, when I was an undergrad, made me really think about not only, you know, what it was that I kind of loved about something traditional, but, you know, what was really relevant about the medium in our time. Mark Harris is mm-hmm, on this mm-hmm. panel, and he... Mm-hmm. He's the head of the at the University of Cincinnati, but he also has a link to VCU. He's been a visiting
yes.
professor here.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be, I think, really a
Boy, it sounds like it's going to be sort of the center of the universe for printmaking for about 4 or 5 days.
It will be. And then Shelley Langdale, who's the curator of prints and drawings at the Philadelphia Museum of Art.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, we're talking with Holly Morrison, who's an associate professor at VCU. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about Command Print, which is a vast print conference that is being hosted by Virginia Commonwealth University School of the Arts, Department of Painting and Printmaking, and the Center for Digital Print Media. And it is coming up fast, March 26th through Saturday, March 29th. And as long as I'm talking about that, let's start getting a website thing out there so people can...
Oh, the web address.
Yeah, what is it?
Yes, sgc.vcu.edu. So SGC stands for Southern Graphics Conference, and then .vcu.edu, and there's a whole lineup of everything that'll be happening. I do need to let people know that there is a fee for the conference.
Okay.
You can, if you are, you find that you would be really engaged and you want to attend, I mean, there's a variety of things. So there are the keynote addresses, the artist talks, there's a whole series of panels, there's a, you know, 2.5 days of hands-on demonstrations of different kinds of...
Let's talk about that a little bit.
The demonstrations.
Yeah, 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 because we haven't talked about it.
Well, there's everything from how to print Sharpie marker flats with lithography to... I'm trying to think. There's some... There's a lot of things that are combining digital and print, so how to make... digital films that then you would expose to a plate that then you would etch as a traditional etching, you know. So there's a lot of demonstrations that really combine analog and digital. It's very interesting. And there's some real experts in the field who are going to lead these.
Sort of
probably
building,
on the high-tech end, we have Apple engineers who will be doing demonstrations through a remote video feed from wherever they are in California.
Of course.
So they'll be demonstrating how to create podcasts. And then I think there's a whole series on, you know, just really how to utilize all the different kinds of workflows in terms of, you know, using their entire system. So I guess iTunes U will be at VCU next year, so the podcasting thing should be important.
What will be at VCU?
iTunes University.
Really? What is that?
Right now, if you would be interested, so there are other universities who are already online on iTunes U. So through iTunes, you can download podcasts from courses at Berkeley.
Ah.
At the University of North Carolina. Those are two that I know. I've listened to some of the lectures coming out of Berkeley. So VCU will have that online next year.
Fabulous. So. Great idea. So what excites you the most about this?
I mean, I have to tell you, it's so frustrating for me because we've been editing the catalog that goes along with the conference just today. We were doing a lot of final edits and, you know, looking over the stuff and proofing it and reading it. I'm so excited about so much of what's going on, and I'm so frustrated because I know I'm going to be running around as an organizer and not able to attend a lot of things. But I would say not to be missed are really the keynote address, Carrie Marshall's talk. I really want to see Sandow Burke. Cassandra Jones is really interesting digital. She'll be an artist in residence in our Center for Digital Print Media, and she does, I think, a kind of process of almost cloning images to create a kind of wallpaper. Virgil Marty is currently teaching in the grad program at VCU, and he'll be in residence during the conference as well. He has an exhibition at the Visual Arts Center of Richmond called Sunflowers Ah. So that there'll be a reception for that exhibition during the conference as well. But there's also another great show at the Visual Arts Center from work by Wallpaper Lab. And these are all wallpaper multiples that have been created by artists.
And all of this massive amount of information and shows and things. If someone goes to the website, they really can sort it all out and figure out what time it is.
No problem. Yeah.
Because I went to the website and I thought, boy, I don't know who did this website, but there's really a lot of work.
Oh, Katie Lynch is in the PhD program at VCU, the Art, Media, and Text, and she's been a dream.
Okay.
I also want to talk a little more about almost every gallery in Richmond is going to have a print-related exhibition, which will open on will have already opened by the time you hear this, but there will be receptions for all those exhibitions again during the conference in March. So there'll be prints all over town. So don't miss them. And
yeah,
Barbara
Tisserot
did an extraordinary job organizing all those exhibitions.
Just to give you an idea, I mean, just if you go to the website, it's just staggering. But just in the VCU area alone, there's going to be something at the Anderson Gallery, something at the Capitol Garage Apartments, street level windows, which I think everybody who lives in Richmond knows about. The Fab Gallery, the James Branch Cabell Library Special Collection and Archives. Excuse me as I flip through these. Locker 50B. You want to talk about that?
Oh, you know, Locker 50B is certainly a Richmond favorite. Yeah. Virginia Samsell, who's a grad of the VCU Painting and Printmaking Department, she, as a student, started doing really small-scale kinds of installations in her locker, and then she decided to open it up. So
like a locker they give you to put your books in.
Yeah, it's just a locker in the hallway in the painting and printmaking department. Okay. So she opened it up, and I when the Southern Graphics Council board members came for a meeting here in Richmond in the fall, they saw Locker 50B, and there was an open competition for who would be in that show during the conference. So they were incredibly excited. I'll be interested to see who won that exhibition venue.
Yes. The thing I like about it is the mat that's in front of it is when you stand on the mat, the lights come on.
But that's it's fantastic. Really.
Just my simple mind. Well, we're running short on time. What else would you like to share about this?
Well, I really just want to acknowledge a few people. Andrew Kozlowski has been the administrative coordinator for this, and really, honestly, he's going to get sainthood, I think, from the from the print community. Belinda Hakes, another member of the Art, Media, and Text PhD program at VCU, she's also, just in terms of boots on the ground, those two people have been remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
On the website, there's a whole list of coordinators. Everyone has really been extraordinary in terms of the time and energy. And I think just this project, people's creativity has really surfaced in terms of the kind of work that's been brought to bear.
Well, it sounds like it. It sounds like you've done what you set out to do in terms of do something provocative. And not only do something provocative, but also it sounds like you really are building bridges between things of the past and this incredibly rapidly evolving media, through the computer and what the computer can do.
Yeah.
And especially in terms of print. And I think that's fascinating, the whole idea about the Gutenberg press and this being.
Well, one of the things I think that actually has been so interesting about digital media is it hasn't, it's actually reinvigorated an interest in the hand and in the handmade thing, because it, I never thought I would think that silkscreen had a physical presence.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see it in relation to a digital print or something on screen, then all of a sudden you're like, look at the ink film. And I'm an etcher, which I always think that that's, the really physical medium. But but it has the advent of digital media and the digital age has really re-informed all this analog stuff and enriched it even more.
Fabulous.
So it's this and.
Well, congratulations on a tremendous amount of hard work. And this sounds really exciting, and it sounds like there's something for everybody there. And I want to thank you folks for listening. We hope to see you for lunch again on the radio next Friday at 12:30. This is Tim Bowring, and you're listening to WRIR 97.3 FM. It's Richmond's Indie Radio. It's radio for the rest of us.